Yes, and welcome back to the official Get a Kick AFL podcast. I'm Ash Williams, and as always, I'm joined by the biggest party animal in the AFL industry. It's David Zeta.
No, I wouldn't go that far, but it's good to be with you, Ash. Hello.
You had a big night last night at the Brownlow?
The Brownlow was great. It was lovely. Good night. It went relatively quickly. Andrew Dillon was very good with his speed of reading. And then there was a bit of fun afterwards at Nobu. They just book out Nobu and a bunch of players, and it's like mini gather round. You just see all these different clubs, and Matt Rowe was swanning around with the Brownlow and enjoying himself ahead of his 6 a.m. start the next day. So probably didn't sleep. No, Matt Rowe. I got a couple of hours, but it was great, mate. I had a great time. It was it was all happening. It was a big night. Well, everyone's there.
I was going to say, if you're at Nobu, then I'm guessing no Crows fans were there.
If I was at Nobu, very good. That's very good, Ash. Why aren't you wearing a shirt, by the way?
Because, mate, I've been at the beach. I'm in a rush. Right. Before we get to your lascivious evening last night, I was just coming home from the beach in a bit of a rush. And I walk in the garage, and this boy, it's school holidays.
And garage boy, or garage?
Sorry?
Is it garage or garage?
Garage.
Okay.
Garage.
Keep going. Garage. Sorry, we had this debate in the office the other day. Continue, sorry.
Well, what do you think it is?
I don't know. I actually don't know what I say.
It's garage.
Garage?
Garage.
Garage? Yeah.
So this, I was talking to this boy, it's school holidays. We had a chat this morning for about, 10 minutes. Nice boy. He's probably 7 years old. Right. And we're talking about, life. And
I'm sure he has plenty to say.
Well, he made some pretty salient points, to be honest. Yeah. And I get home from the beach. I run in the garage. And
garage? It's garage.
He goes...
Oh, no. Is it garage? Anyway.
Excuse me? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, Ash, because he remembered my name from this morning, Ash. I said, yeah, what's up? His name is Ven. I said, yeah, Ven, what's up? Can I use your bathroom? My mum's not answering the door. I said, yep, of course you can.
This seven-year-old boy went into your house.
Yes, right. And so the dog starts acting weird when other people are in the house. I don't know why. So the dog starts going absolutely mental. Ven goes into the... bathroom. I'm thinking he's going to be in there for 30 seconds. He's dropping a deuce. He goes in there. He goes in there for 15 minutes and does some of his best work. His mum comes running around, going, "Ven,
left the Venn diagram in your
well done, Davey. Venn diagram everywhere." And his mum's like, "Ven," and I've never met his mum. She's like, "Where are you?" And I walk out. I go, "Hey."
He's in my house.
He's in the bathroom. He's in the bathroom. Oh, yes. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I was on a work call. Yes. Anyway, he was honest. I think he was in there for maybe 20. I don't know what he was doing.
A Venn diagram, I say, that was actually... So he did a proper number in your bathroom.
Yeah, and I'm carrying the dog. It was absolute chaos. And then the neighborhood cat ran around, and the dog it was tough going. I mean, I don't think I'm ready for kids, let me tell you that. But Dave, back to your night. That's a very long-winded answer as to why I'm not wearing a shirt, but tell us about...
Hold on, you haven't answered it. Oh, because you're at the beach and then you went back. Okay.
And then I ran upstairs and here I am.
Speaking of the beach, yesterday morning at 8 a.m. we had to record a Nick Del Santo interview because he does stuff for us. He said, meet me at Brighton Baths at 8 a.m. we saw bloody freezing. It felt like 5 degrees, right? Never been more cold. And then Jared Healy rocks up and he is wearing, I'm like, Jared Healy's here. It's like 8 a.m. in the morning. What are you doing? It's freezing. He starts taking his clothes off, putting on a swimsuit. And it was extraordinary stuff. He's put a swimsuit on and then gone into the river. He does a swim every day with his brother. His brother was like meditating on the shore and doing push-ups. Unbelievable stuff. So he's a different unit, Jared Healy. Never seen a hairier man in my life.
He was a good looking. He still is. He was a serious heartthrob back in the day. Now,
hold on, wait a sec, mate. because, hold on, because Drew Jones has walked into the, I'm in the voiceover booth because the main on-air studio is being used. Drew Jones has just come in. Can I help you?
Hello, David.
Yeah.
Have you spoken to Ash about the time that you arrived home last night?
We're speaking about it now. Yeah. Yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah, I just have something to tell you. I'll tell you live.
Would you want to just, hold on, why don't you come to the mic?
I do have a cross to do.
Hurry up. It's 2 seconds. It's literally 3 seconds from the mic.
So,
stand by, Ash. Ash is not wearing a shirt.
Hello, Ash.
With child. Welcome.
Yeah, with child. He said with child. Yeah, very good.
So, I wanted to break some news on the podcast.
You're having another baby.
So, last week I said to David that I promised him that this time next year in October I would allow him to have the entire month off after a very hard-working football season.
Because he's fucked me over this next October, so he's trying to make up for it next October. I wanted to take my leave a month earlier than I actually am taking it. Anyway, continue.
The news is that I've been invited to a wedding in Santorini in the first weekend of October.
So you've already committed to me.
I will be taking leave and going to that wedding. You will work.
You're a fuckwit. You're a fuckwit.
Well, Drew is more senior than you, DZ.
I don't care if he's more senior than me. He made a commitment.
Yeah, well, you know, you'll get your 2 cents worth on the back end, won't you?
Yeah, quite literally. Yeah, that's real. Anyway, that's flattened me because this is a bit of inside baseball. We had this discussion in the office. I was meant to take leave at the start of. I wanted to take leave as soon as the grand final finished, dodge the trade period, get out of town, you know, let the chaos unfold and just go to Europe and do something. Drew's covering the first week. He said, I'm covering October. We thought, oh, he's covering October for us. He's covering the full month. That's very kind of him. No, he meant I'll cover the first week after the grand final and then I'll go back on leave, which he's just returned from. Anyway, it's a whole thing, mate. We're also talking about Jared Healy's hair. Very hairy man.
Well, I was going to say, when Jared Healy said his brother, did he mean Greg Healy?
I don't know what his brother's name is.
So Greg Healy played AFL for the D's and was a very good player.
I don't know. I just know they were swimming together. They swam like 800 metres up and back. And one of them was doing push-ups on the beach. And it was unbelievably cold. And I don't know how he did it. And he said, you just do it.
Because some...
He's very hard-ass.
Can I say this with a modicum of sensitivity to yourself? Some men are men.
Right. Yeah.
Right? And they don't make them like they used to.
Yeah.
Jared Healy is a bona fide brute.
He is. No, he's a hard ass, Jared Healy. Doesn't take many prisoners, does G.
I'm surprised he had time to do the push-ups when he's wristing off Daniel Hoyne every other second of the day.
Mate, Daniel Hoyne has access to some unbelievable statistics. He's very good at what he does.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know...
Yeah, no, it's incredible, Jared. Yeah, no, it's when they exert the forward press, they win 73% of the time.
Right.
No,
and Jared, it's called a statistic.
Really?
Well, if you're not, what's the quote? If you're not, if you haven't got stats, you're just another idiot with an opinion, something like that.
I will say this: Daniel Hoyne correctly predicted that Matt Rowe was going to be in the blanket of winners last night.
That was staggering last night. I was sitting next to Jared and we were just like, Healy, this is, Waitley, this is. And we were just like, oh my, what on earth is going on? Like, as Rowe just kept banking up the votes, it was incredible. And we obviously all had it all wrong. We thought Anderson would win. It was actually Rowe. We just had it the wrong way around about who would take votes off the other person.
Yeah. Is there much conjecture about the Brownlow process? We just got this question from Mickey Pants. I don't understand the debate around the voting. That's the award. Your thoughts?
It's interesting because I heard Jared on radio this morning and he said he loves it because it's just so... It's so, unpredictable. Don't give them the stats. Just let it be, as unpredictable as it can be. But, I mean, at a certain point, why it's just weird that it's the most prestigious award and yet it's the most sort of up for, up for debate. Like, they have the least amount of access to information.
I think that's good, though. I think if everyone's got all the stats, everyone's going to land on the same answer. Yeah. It's got a
great theatre.
Yeah, you just don't know what's going to happen. I think that they've got to keep it that way. And it's staggering, though, that Nosiah Wangan and Miller didn't get three votes. Oh.
So I was going, I was just like staggered. And then and I was voicing my bewilderment. And Damien Barrett kindly pointed out to me, the table behind us is the umpire's table. But I wasn't being denigrating. I think my reaction was similar to that of everyone in the room who started scoffing and laughing. And I can only imagine what the people at home, a quick look at Twitter, showed that that was a pretty extraordinary decision that they made. And we had a chat about it on the table. Like, was he the best player on the ground? I'm like, well, he had 34 touches, kicked 4 goals, took 2 amazing marks, literally won the game off his own boot. Like, and you're giving it to Jack Viney? Like, again, it goes to show how much, I think it shows how much the umpires value the in and under balls at all costs, as opposed to the outside runners like Nick Dacos. He's just bridesmaid at the moment, isn't he? He's the quickest player ever to 100 votes, and he's lost when being favourite, I think, twice now.
Yeah. You'd think he'd win next year. You'd think.
But you would have thought that last year.
Yeah.
There's just always someone who goes mental in the votes. And just so, Brow was on 39. He could have got to 40. Like, really. That last game, he could have got 2, at least. Like, it's just, there's always one that just blows everyone out of the water.
I'll say this.
Cripps had 45 last year.
Usually the Brownlow, they say it goes too long. I actually think this year didn't go long enough. I think Andrew Dillon rushed a little bit too much. I don't mind him rushing for the first 5 or 10 rounds, but to keep that pace up, like, I went to turn it on at 10:30, thinking I'll catch the back end of the count, and Rao was wrapping up his speech. I was like, nah.
His speech went for about 40 minutes. I thought it was great, but because Jared and I were on the table going, this won't finish before. We might not get the winner till 11:20, judging by how they go in the past. But then Andrew Dillon just stormed out of the blocks. He's like, sure, he's not going to keep this pace up all night, and he did. And then I think what also helped it was the fact that the votes at the end, like the last sort of block of 4, Rao won it pretty early out. Pretty far out, so you could just rush through the rest of it.
Right,
I think that's what helped.
Yeah, it wasn't super easy to watch either. I mean, I know it was on Channel 7, but I thought it might have been simulcast on Foxtel. It wasn't that easy to watch.
No chance.
Well,
it's Seven's event. They wouldn't be seen dead letting us into their event.
So, mate, tell me more about the parting. Can you shed any stories?
Or the party. No, there was just a lot of, it was just a very, diverse bunch of people from, all clubs and all walks of life. It was,
I'll just say this to the listeners, hang on to your seat, listen to an answer here where he won't actually say anything for the next 2 or 3 sentences.
Okay.
It's just a very diverse people and a lot of, people enjoying a wonderful evening, mate. Give us something.
I don't know what you want me to... I'm trying to think of what.
What about a name? What about a story you shared? What about a drink you shared with someone who was tearing up the dance floor?
The dance floor was markedly quieter this year compared to last. Last year, Patrick Cripps and his lovely wife, Mom, were, Mom was best on ground. She went till all hours. I think she was just loving life. So I think they just had their child. She was just like having a good night, letting loose. Patrick Cripps. He had a big night. Yeah, I think Patrick Cripps enjoyed himself, which is fair, because this is probably the first time in a while that he has known he's definitely not winning. Like, there's no chance. So he could actually enjoy himself. And I think he certainly did last night. I think he made the most of that role.
And was it free spirits?
No, so it was champagne and beer. It was just as much as you, and then spirits, soft drink and that, but they were all, you got to pay for it. So
what were you, dining out?
I just stuck with the champagne all night. I like champagne. It's quite nice. And, I don't know.
Well,
it's just got a bit of, I like it. The beer makes me feel too heavy.
Mm.
And the champagne, it's free. So
yeah,
I'm not going to be paying for gin and tonics all night, am I?
Doesn't sound like your work.
No, knows the answer.
Yeah. Well, some might, so, but yeah, you wouldn't.
Why would I pay for gin and tonic when they're literally offering me free alcohol?
Maybe a little treat. You've been working hard all year and, spoil yourself, right?
Mum said to me, lovely Margaret, that she thinks I'm not right or something the other day. She's like, I think you just seem off. And it was very frustrating because I don't know what she means. She's like, I don't know. I can just tell you're off.
She probably is very busy with her work, and she's also a mother of three boys and a wife. Mm. But you're in a very busy period, so if you're a little bit disengaged, then that's the by and by.
Mm. Anyway, I didn't really know what to do with that information because I'm like, well, I don't know what can I do? I'm just, it's been a long year. We're nearly there.
Yeah.
Far worse jobs in the world. Very lucky to do what we do. So last night was very good. I had a very good time. And this week is just it's just an events. Oh my God, the amount of events on. A few people at the AFL would just go back to back. They'll just go every night. They'll just be getting absolutely, plastered is probably too strong a word, but they'll be enjoying themselves and then off they go. But that was a good night, the Brownlow night.
Yep.
And also one thing that I've just observed just quickly is the only time I ever hear this word is at the Brownlow Medal from Richard Goyder. He gets up at the end of every Brownlow and says, can you please charge your glasses? No one says charge in anything.
Mm.
No one says charge your glasses. The only people who do it are rich people. And I'm like, it's a dead giveaway of like wealth and high level of privilege and inner circle because no one else says charge your glasses.
Mm.
And he does it every time he gets up. Mm. I think he did it at the Hall of Fame. He did it here. Just raise your glasses. Why do you have to charge them? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, you're right. It just, it screams, aristocrat. But listen.
Oh, yeah.
How much do you reckon Hamish McLaughlin would have been paid by the AFL last night to host that?
I don't know. I'd imagine it'd be a lot of money. Well, what do you think? Because you're more in this world than me.
It depends whether he's on a contract, like a 12-month contract with the AFL to host X amount of, these events. This is what we'll pay you.
So is he hosting for Seven or the AFL? Because he's with Seven.
That's a good point.
Is this part of his Seven deal?
But he's still hosting the Brownlow. So it's still for the AFL. I reckon he could be getting paid twice. Obviously, right, with Seven, he's on the contract. And I think maybe he's got a bit of a paper bag deal with the AFL. And it doesn't hurt that your brother's the former CEO.
Well, he's not now.
Former.
So I think Hamish is, yeah, fine. But he's not like... I think he's a very good host, Hamish McLaughlin. But I'm interested because Beck Madden, it's Seven News. Like, she's part of the Seven network. So is this part of her deal as well, that she does the Brownlow?
Think that Hamish probably would have got paid 10, 15K, maybe more. Probably 15K.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, well, I tell you what, at the front on the red carpet, it's just like everyone's got their little, like a booth at the red carpet of just interviews and, it was like Sportsbet and then Kick It Forward. Those guys are there. Just a bunch, just everyone. It was just unbelievable.
Where's Get A Kick?
A few influencers.
Why weren't we there?
I don't know, mate. We can try and get a spot next year. But they were doing interviews and everything. Zach Merritt was very popular.
Who?
Zach Merritt was very popular. Oh, yeah.
Mate, are you ever going to share content on the Get A Kick Instagram page, or do you just post stuff from David Zeter and
what,
you know,
content?
screw the podcast?
What content?
You took a photo last Friday night, I think, at the MCG.
A shit photo of the ground. It's, I'll tag
it's
it a
just
kick.
A little bit of access, mate. Oh, you could have put a photo of the silverware at the Brownlow. Maybe just shared that.
I actually realized I didn't take any photos. Like, it actually annoys me because I've realized because I don't take photos of myself very often. Like, I just don't. Like, can you take my photo? I just don't feel the need to do it. I don't know why. I just don't. But I've realized it's actually backfiring on me because as a single man. On my dating app profile, it's just very like corporate. It looks very, it's always work shots as opposed to like candid, relaxing, just with my mates, you know. I think I need to fix that. And last night, well, that was obviously a formal event, but I just, there's too much, there's just like three shots of me in a tux, the same tux. Like I need to lift my game in that department. Yeah. I don't think I'm selling myself very well.
This is the thing. There's a huge gulf, You could drive a truck. You could drive a semi trailer down it. The gulf between the work David Zeta and the real David Zeta. I think you need to try and bridge that gap.
Do you really think there is?
Yeah.
In what sense? I don't know if there is a big gap. Mate, I try and be pretty authentic with people.
No, you're very authentic, but I think you know who people. Let me rephrase it. People who don't know you, who see you. Hosting AFL Tonight or doing these interviews, you're very buttoned up and, you know, polished somewhat. But you're not really that polished. You're an easygoing. You are a lot more easygoing than people give you credit for.
All right. I appreciate that. Well, I'll try and loosen up a bit in public. I think the tribunal stuff's relatively loose. That gets quite intense.
Yeah.
And revealing.
Well, speaking of, Mabi Ochoa has been given 3 weeks for a pretty stock standard tackle on Tom Stewart, albeit Tom was concussed. Do you reckon he'll get off that?
Jeez, that would have been. Imagine if they were playing at the granny. That would have been quite the large case.
Well, the AFL would have been hoist upon their own petard, wouldn't they? Like, it's just that they would have really got themselves in knots this week.
So, I agree, right? This is the same thing I've said all year. I agree that 3 weeks for that is excessive, but the groundwork and the precedent we have is that that is a dangerous tackle, is it not? You have to at least grade it as a dangerous tackle because he's pinned both arms. Tom Stewart was in a vulnerable position. He was driven into the ground with excessive force in the eyes of the MRO. That's how the MRO has seen these things all year. So he grades it. They inevitably take it to the tribunal, and then we see what the tribunal has to say about it. More often than not, they've agreed with the MRO. But this was always going to, it was always going to be, I was in the media box when that happened and people started asking, is he going to, I'm like, well, yeah, to me, he's going to get, like, oh, well, it's just 1 week, isn't it? I said, no, it's three because he was concussed. So once you grade it, it becomes outcome based because there was a concussion. So impact has to be severe. I think there's enough. So I think he could argue that there was, the other Hawthorn player was involved in a way that he couldn't have reasonably foreseen or that added to the difficulty of the tackle.
Butler.
And that he, at the end, Butler, and at the end he tries to roll off Tom Stewart. I think he rolls off too late. And I agree 3 weeks is too much for this sort of thing, like it was with Paul Curtis. But this is the reality of where we're at. And this could be the last time we have it before they change things and add a bit more leeway for the MRO next year. I think there'll be some changes coming.
Yeah, it's not about the tackle per se, it's about the outcome often.
Right.
But
I don't people say that. It's about the outcome once it's a reportable offence.
Like, yes.
It has to be reportable for it to the outcome. It's outcome based once it's graded. Okay. Once he goes, that's a dangerous tackle, therefore now it's outcome based because he was concussed, so it would be severe impact.
Here's the problem with it. If Tom Stewart hit his head and got up and shook it off, we get on with our lives. No one even talks about that tackle.
No, but it could be careless, medium conduct, medium impact for the potential to cause injury.
Nothing would have happened.
I don't agree. I still think it would have been
analyzed. If he got up and just shook it off and like c'est la vie, no one's talking about it. I mean, it might not.
No, but that's happened before, Ash, where people it's been careless, medium, high for dangerous tackles. Careless conduct, medium impact with potential to cause more significant injury. So medium impact and high contact is one match. And they gave out a stack of them over the last couple of years to try and get rid of this. And it is working because the numbers are going down. But people are always going to rally against it. And the outcome, the 3 weeks part is the bit I think people would find hard to stomach.
Yep. Also, another one, was it a free kick to Jamie Elliott?
Yeah, I think that's paid. 9.5 times out of 10, isn't it?
So one thing,
I think the player was doing a good job not to look at Elliot. Like, he was just looking at the ball the whole time, basically. But yeah.
One thing I think hasn't been spoken about enough is that Tim Membry is a forward. He's being paid to kick goals. He marks the ball from 30 metres out straight in front and he elects to pass it. I just think that shows that the situation it has gotten to you a bit. I think he didn't want to take it on himself and I'll pass this off. You go back and kick that.
I don't think he's played in the prelim as far as I can recall. He didn't at St Kilda. I don't think he got to a prelim with them. So
no.
If he was feeling the pressure, he's a human. I can only imagine he'd be feeling it.
Well, everyone's feeling pressure, but everyone deals with it differently. And he had a couple of terrible misses. I think he got one or two goals because he had Upton opportunities, but to not go back and slot that through the middle, which would bring you within six, it just shows that you weren't ready to take the game by the scruff of the neck.
Right. And what did you think of Hawthorn? Obviously, you're a Hawks man and they had the loss. I tell you what, you were going on about, we were on the phone the other day and you're talking about how much you don't rate CJ, Chankwath Jath, as a footballer. And I was like, oh, that's pretty intense from Ash. But now I was watching on the Friday night and he just, like, some of the moments, I was like, oh, God, he just sort of does everything. He just sort of does everything in one passage of play, the good, the bad, the ugly.
I can't remember what I said to you, but it's like it's a boy playing with the adults. He looks like he's running fast, but he's not. His legs are going a million miles an hour, but people are overtaking him. So here's the thing. CJ's not quick. I don't think I've ever seen him land a tackle. He bounces off the person he's trying to tackle. If there's a rumor that he's going to Carlton, albeit from Sam McClure, all true blue Hawthorn supporters will be praying for that. I never want to watch CJ in the brown and gold again. That I said to my mate who's a Hawks fan, I said, as long as CJ is in the Hawks team, we're not winning a flag. It's as simple as that. You can't.
Okay. I love these sorts of, just the emotional big calls.
They're not.
And what
big,
do you think about?
Anyone who's watching enough Hawthorn games realises that CJ can't land a tackle.
Yeah.
So
now, speaking about Hawthorn Sam Mitchell and Zach Merritt, I found the media approach very interesting from Zach Merritt. We were thinking, how's he going to go about this? What's he going to do? And he ended up coming downstairs, like all the players, and he stopped for virtually every media outlet, including Fox Sports, and spoke to Drew Jones. And so it was very... I rated that. He's actually fronted up, stopped. I think he got offered $15,000 or something to do the agenda setters the other week, and he turned it down. So he's certainly... this way, I did admire that because he hasn't done himself any favours at the way he's carried himself by the way this whole story has developed. But I think he took a step towards trying to mend a few relationships on the way out if it is that he leaves.
Yeah, well, he's leaving.
Okay, all right. All right.
Unless, you know, the new board or... the new prez down there at the hangar can somehow sell Zach Merritt the dream. But I just think it's a fractured relationship. I think a lot of trust has gone from that relationship, and Merritt will leave. So
I think as a club you got to take a stand and just hold someone to the commitment they made. I know it's easier said than done, but he signed that contract. He's not staying there for nothing. He's getting paid a lot of money to play at that football club. He made the commitment to them. And I think he's such a competitive beast that if he is held there and they say, you're staying here, I almost think he's his own worst enemy because he can't go, well, I'm not going to try, because he's too proud to not try.
Mm.
Like, he'll just go all in. He won't be the captain, but I don't think that will... And what's he going to do? Is he going to have to just roll up his sleeves and try and get them back up the ladder quicker? I think there's a world, I can foresee a world where you hold him to his deal and just go, well, mate, what are you going to do? you want to do something about it, then good luck to you. But you sign a deal with us. You have to leave without consent. We're not giving it to you.
Mm. Yep.
I know it's easier said than done. And that's probably why he's trying to burn everything to the ground to try and make sure that he can get out. But, I mean, yeah. I did notice in David Barham, the Essendon president, is stepping down just, I think, less than 12 months after being reappointed.
He's been pushed out.
He's, yeah, well, yeah, that's what I think. If you read between the lines, that's what's happened. He said here in his thing, I have enormous faith in both Brad Scott and Craig Vozzo, the CEO. They are the future and they'll lead us to success. They're talented, committed professionals who have outstanding values, and it has been a pleasure to work with them. They both put the club first always. And I thought that was that omission of merit was noted there.
Mm. Yeah, fascinating stuff. I think the Bombers, they certainly need change. Now, mate, the grand final, the last game of the season, can the Lions get it done?
I just think that the Cats are just too well placed, even without Tom Stewart. They're just perfectly, the way they've just timed everything has been, they just seem a class above. So I think it's certainly theirs to lose. They certainly haven't had a very clean final series in terms of being, well, they have on the score sheet, but in terms of the way they've conducted themselves in a couple of incidents. I don't think they've been, they haven't covered themselves in glory. Or the AFL should have done more anyway.
Mm.
I'm going on about that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, I think, Bailey Smith rocked up in the sunglasses or something last night and had a mate with him. And he was, I tell you what, I did notice they say you can't come in to the room once. So they lock, so when you're there, they lock you out of the room until the ad break if you're out when the telecast comes back on. So you need to be in your chair because they have to know where everyone sits. If you leave and you don't get back in time for the next segment, you're out for that whole next segment, which is, you know, 15 minutes or so. And it's a very big deal. You can't get in once you're out. Yeah. And now I'm out there. I'm sitting down. And then midway through, a segment started and Bailey Smith's just walking through. He's probably just got the...
Yeah.
You know, rules for some.
He could have won the Brownlow. So I think I'm Bailey aware. Smith is allowed to walk through.
Anyway.
We're lesser than. I will say this. The coaching in the prelims, we had the four best coaches of the year, I think. You look at all of the to-ing and fro-ing in both prelims. There was some serious coaching moves going on. And you know what it made me think? Matthew Nix wouldn't have done anything. Matthew Nix has been shown up that he needs to lift.
So apparently Matthew Nix and his wife were there and then they didn't have, there must have been an oversight. They didn't have a spot on any of the, on the table. So the AFL had to sort of scurry around and figure out where they would sit. That was a whole debacle apparently, but no. Sam McClure's done this whole behind the scenes, loving the sort of back, the politics and the, well, not really the politics, just the flair and a few of the little issues.
Yeah. So, Matt, who's your tip? Oh, by the way, Lachie Neale, will he play? Yes or no?
No.
Oh, I'm going yes.
Yeah. But they might make an early call on it, but I don't know. I just think it's such a massive risk to play here. But Stevie J did it back in 2011. He would have had about 600 injections, and he got the job done. He kicked three goals, I think. So it can happen.
Well,
I think they will play him. I don't think they should play him.
Okay, you've done a 180 there.
Sorry. Well, yeah, I don't think they should, but I think he will because Fags will go, "Well, mate, you're a dual Brownlow medalist. You tell me you got the all clear. Go."
Yeah. He's one of the senior players there at the Lions. I think he played with a pretty bad injury last final series. I think you'll be able to tough it out. And, it's amazing that Geelong, without their best player, give or take, is still really hot favourites.
No, they were. They almost performed They sort of clicked into gear once Tom went off, which was bizarre because he's normally such the playmaker for them and organizer.
Mate, Dangerfield, once he kicked that goal that first quarter, I was like, oh, don't let this guy into the game.
That was unbelievable watching him on Friday night. Like just the way he, I don't know if I've seen anyone, no one sort of attacks the footy like Dangerfield does. Just the way he just cannons into like he's just like a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
No one really approaches a contest like him. No. He sort of, there's times when he's on the ground. It's the thing I think about when I think of him is when he's on the ground and he just sort of like he just leaps forward off the ground to get to a contest and like puts his arm out to try and claw the ball. It's unbelievable.
And he wins most of them. And also he's tough as nails. Like he got, I think in the second quarter, he went in a marking contest in the forward line. And I think it was
to the head.
Bliksarves, I think.
Yeah, copped to the head.
I reckon he would have had to have been concussed. Like
he went down the room. We thought he was getting a concussion test. And then he just came back up like 5 minutes later and played the lights out.
He just got up.
Yeah.
Like anyway, look. I think we're both tipping Geelong. Let's just hope it's a close final.
Yes. Well, will you be in Melbourne?
Yeah, I don't think I will be. I was going to come down Thursday, but I'm not sure where I'm going to watch it, to be honest. Where are you going to watch it, Dave?
I'll try and be at the venue, hopefully.
Have you got a pass?
You can have media, working media, in like an overflow section, which is pretty high up. Yeah, in terms of the physical location, not in terms of stature. And then you watch the game from there and, do your thing.
Do you have a seat?
We'll see how we go. Not yet, but I think I'll get told soon if I do. So
you'll get one.
Hopefully.
You'll get one.
Oh, I appreciate your faith. Watch Snoop Dogg. See how he goes.
Oh, also, we should plug the My Room telethon Thursday night, Channel 9.
Yep, very good. That will be a big night. Margaret, very nervous, wants to make sure it goes well, but she always puts in the hard work and it always goes well. So, should we fine?
Yep. Now, David, that's your third or fourth yawn in about 3 minutes.
Sorry, mate. I'm hanging on. I got to do the Chole Tribunal later on too, actually.
You know what you might need today? And I know that this is, break glass and in the case of an emergency. You might need a coffee.
A coffee. I already had a coffee this morning.
Had a coffee.
I had a coffee last night. I had a coffee yesterday in the afternoon. And then I had a coffee at like 9 p.m.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I don't feel like 100% here. I'm having a coffee.
Yeah.
So I went out and got a coffee.
Did it get you going?
Yeah. Mate, it's great.
You would have been flying.
I was like Dangerfield after he came back up from the race. I was ready to go. I could have kept going. I could have stayed out later.
Gee whiz.
I don't know what time I got home, but
you're a fun guy to go out with, that's for sure. Now,
okay.
Well, no, of course, David's facetious. Having your coffee, everyone. Hold on to your hats. But look, we will talk next week for our final episode of the year. And look forward to hopefully getting some more gossip. For God's sake, David, you gave us... Patrick Cripps was having a good night. That's all I got.
I need to look at it through that gossip lens. I'll try and give you more.
All right, mate.
I'll tell you what, if I go to the grand final and there's an event afterwards, the September Club, if I'm invited to that, I'll try and... That's always a big night. Mm. So I'll try and get some gossip from there for you for the next episode.
Yeah, and share some photos on the Instagram.
Okay. All right. I just picked up a new phone, so I've got the camera works now, so I'll be able to take some good photos for you.
Very good, mate. Before you go, how is the love life?
All right, so we'll speak next week.
Oh, very good. very good.
It's quiet, mate. It's quiet, mate.
Yeah.
It's very quiet.
Well, probably just as well.
How's yours, mate?
Yeah, just focusing on my work, Dave.
Anyone else coming into your house other than the 7-year-old has to take a shit in your bathroom?
Yeah, I tell you, I didn't know whether to let that kid in. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That's
a weird, anyway.
I wouldn't have let him in if I didn't have the chat with him this morning. I had a good, I knew him a bit.
Ven, yeah, good on him.
Anyway.
Shout out to Ven.
Yeah, good on you, Ven. All right, buddy, we'll talk next week.
All right. See you, mate.